Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, broadcasting live from the Administrative Small Business Classic all week long, celebrating small business and golf, both of those things. And we're having a great time here. We got right here in the Woodlands, Texas area, north of Houston, having a great time. And I want to reintroduce you to a friend of ours. John Torgo has been with us before. John is a technology expert. He's CEO and managing principal of Torrigo Partners International LLC, which is a consulting firm that helps companies like yours and mine do research and analysis on their technology and being prepared to deal with some of the issues that we all deal with as we grow our businesses. He's the author of a number of books on this topic, including The Holy Grail of Network Storage Management. And that's just one of his books. And he's here to talk to us about being prepared this year for this H1N1 thing. And he's, as I say, he's our good friend. John, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Jim.
It's good to have you back.
It's a pleasure to be here, and a pleasure to be here in one piece. We had a fairly quiescent hurricane season this year, thank goodness. And
Did Florida even get any kind of a glancing blow of a hurricane?
No, we had some. A little tropical depression come through here, but it didn't raise the havoc that some of the severe weather events have in the last couple of years.
Right, right.
A day with character, you know.
Our hurricane this year, though, looks like it may be H1N1, the swine flu.
Right.
And you know, John, I remember when they first started talking about this. What was it, about a year or two ago? They first started mentioning this thing. First, it was bird flu, right? This is not the same thing. This is different from bird flu, isn't it?
That's correct. Bird flu is actually about 3 years ago, and it didn't materialize into the kind of epidemic that they were concerned about. This H1N1 is technically it's classified as a pandemic because it's a disease that's entered the human population, and it's substantially exceeded what was expected in terms of infection rates, and now it's across.
Is that the definition of a pandemic?
Well, pandemic is when you take an epidemic and you spread it across an entire national geography. So,
right.
It's strictly a geographical term.
It sounds a lot more ominous than that, though, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
when you say pandemic, that sounds worse than an epidemic. But seriously, the I noticed that, you know, the swine flu wasn't that big a deal this last winter, but when I noticed that in reading reports that the CDC continued to talk about it, and not in excited ways, but just they continue to do a very professional job of reminding people that this thing is still out there, and just slowly but surely getting ready for this thing, I said, wait a minute. This might turn into something, and it kind of has, hasn't it, John?
Well, their worst-case scenario is that by midwinter, it's expected to peak by midwinter, but sometime between now and then, it may infect up to 40% of the population. So it's a significant illness, but fortunately not one that needs to be life-threatening, and there are obviously some simple and affordable things you can do to prevent it from happening.
Well, you know, The things that I've seen in this with this disease is that the people who I've known, except for one, I have one case I want to tell you about, but except for one case, people get it and it's actually not even a bad case of the flu. Not like I remember the flu back in, you know, years ago when people get the flu and they literally would be out of commission for a month or something like that. So they feel bad. But John, if you've got any kind of a compromise, a health compromise, this thing goes after that with a vengeance, doesn't it?
It sure does. And the folks who are most at risk are the ones who are already down for some other illness that has lowered their immune system, or in some cases, of course, the elderly and the very small children and women who are pregnant are particularly vulnerable right. to the worst problems that are associated
well,
with
that's, it. And that seems to be the interesting thing about H1N1 is that it's hitting segments of the population that in the past haven't been as much you know, part of the scenario, like younger adults, right?
That's correct. That's correct. And in fact, you typically get it from your children. They're little petri dishes.
Right.
They go to school and they come home with it and give it as a gift to mom and dad. And it's a gift that keeps giving.
You know, I'll tell you the quick story. I have a relative, a young lady who is a med student. Her name is Emily, and she's 28 years old. She's working too hard in medical as an intern, not an intern. I'm sorry, as a resident now. And she allowed herself to get compromised through this work schedule that we all know about that they have, and she got sick, and nobody knew exactly what it was. And I mean, it found that little compromise when she got the flu, the swine flu, it found her compromise, her respiratory compromise, and within about a week, she was just about dead with this incredible raging pneumonia, and was on a ventilator for a couple of 3 weeks. We really thought we were going to lose her. And so here's my point, John. Folks, if you see your children, or if you're not getting better with this thing, and I'm not a medical expert, but from what I can tell, if you're not getting better, you need to seek some help right away, John, because this thing, when it goes after a defect in your immune system, it really takes off.
Yep. And it is the secondary illnesses like pneumonia that are the most devastating.
That's right. Well, that's what happened to her. She had double pneumonia like nobody's ever seen. I mean, another relative is a critical care nurse, and she said she sees really, really sick people, desperately sick people all the time, and this was the worst case she'd ever seen. So folks, pay attention to this. So John, how do we prevent ourselves from letting this happen?
Okay. Well, first of all, it's mostly common sense. I'll walk you through a couple of things we put together for Office Depot as part of officedepot.com/getprepared, which is a site where we help small businesses deal with the possibility of interruption events, whether they're from disasters that we know, like hurricanes, or things like this H1N1 virus. In the case of H1N1, you're infectious for 24 to 48 hours before you even have symptoms. So you may be walking around with it and you don't even know.
Right.
And the really bad thing here is that most companies are feeling the pinch of the current recessionary economy, so they may have downsized their staff a little bit, and they've
right.
got one person doing the work of five people now.
John, hold on to that thought. We got to take a quick break. First, we come back. John's already going to tell us some more about preparing ourselves individually, but also our companies. And by the way, Emily is much better now, thank you. She's going to make it.
There I was with the old man, stranded again, so off I'd ran. A young world crashing around me, no possibilities of getting what I need. He looked at me and smiled, said, no.
Welcome back, 23 After. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. The little Ann Wilson there singing with her sister Nancy on guitar in the background. It's 23 After. I'm Jim Blasingame. Glad you're here. John Twigo is with us. I've been mispronouncing his name, even though we've known each other a long time. For some reason, I didn't remember that. It's Twigo. It's spelled T-O-I-G-O because you're going to want to Google him to see what he's up to these days. But it's pronounced Twigo, right, John?
Yes, it is. Thanks, Jim.
Hey, John, with a name like Blasingame, I want to get other people's names right. Hey, John, and by the way, folks, my website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you'll check it out when you get a chance, and all the good things that we have there that will help you with your small business. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blasingame. John is here to talk to us about how to get our company, ourselves, and our companies ready for this H1N1 thing, and John, they seem to be saying that they really are fearing that this thing could turn into quite a few cases. I mean, like what you say earlier, maybe as many as their worst fears would be 40% of the population would have had some kind of an H1N1 incident.
That's correct. And the thing is, from a business context, business owners just need to take some simple, affordable steps to get prepared for that possibility. First of all, they have to be concerned about their people, because their people are irreplaceable. So I would encourage them to give them a little latitude. If a person isn't feeling well, don't make them come into work.
If they got a fever, they don't need to come to work, do they?
That's right. You're just gonna bless everybody in the office with it. So what you do instead is hopefully you can make some arrangements to allow people to work from their homes. They may have to stay home not because they're sick, but because a child's sick or a relative or something.
Right.
So you need to be a little more flexible and accommodate those kinds of things. And there are a lot of technologies that will help you allow people to work from their computer at home to operate the business machines that they've got at work.
What about having products there like sanitizing material and things like that to help people keep it from passing it back and forth from contact?
Absolutely. In fact, Office Depot's come out with this Fight the Flu kit that includes gloves and hand sanitizers and cleaning
gloves,
facial tissues, and that sort of thing. You can run on down to your local Office Depot store and spend less than you would spend on a cup of coffee at Starbucks, and you'll have this kit that you can bring back to work and keep most of the way you fight the flu is common sense medicine.
Some people aren't even shaking hands these days.
That's correct,
and they got us coughing and sneezing into our elbow.
That's right. The other thing you want to consider doing is maybe doing some of your meetings with your customers either by phone or by internet or teleconferencing or whatever.
Right.
Certainly, a lot of companies don't have big travel budgets this year, so people aren't going to as many conferences as they did before, and a lot of those conference providers are going online, so you can attend the conference via the internet instead of actually going there in person. It's a good strategy, and it works with your current budget too. The real important thing here is that there is a vaccine for this. And last week, we had the nasal version of that vaccine where you inhale it come into the market. And this week, we're supposed to begin seeing the injectables. And people just need to be commonsensical. You need to get your flu shot and your H1N1 shot. And,
right.
You're very much more insulated against the possibility of getting sick.
Well, I think everybody's going to, has to make up their own mind about how they want to prepare for this, whether they want to actually, get the shot or whatever, because everybody has different approaches to this. But the main thing I think we need to get across is this thing is serious. It doesn't have to be life threatening, but in some cases it is. But one of the things about our businesses, John, another thing I'd like to remind people about: get your people cross trained.
Right.
Because if you're a small business, that means you don't have a lot of people. Most small businesses don't. The vast majority, 90% of small businesses have, under 25, maybe under 10, under 5 employees. And if you have one or two people who are out for, what's going to happen, John, is they're out for 2 or 3 days with their kid, and then they're out 2 or 3 days with themselves.
That's right. Jim, you don't want them coming back to work for at least 24 hours after the conditions have subsided, because you're still infectious.
Right.
Some people estimate, in England, they estimate that you're still infectious up to 5 days afterwards.
Wow. Well, it's going to be tough if the worst fears of the CDC are realized, which I hope they're not. But still, folks, make sure your people are cross trained, and so that when somebody leaves, that you don't have this big hole. Especially with customers, make sure that you got people cross trained with customers as well. Especially if you have business customers, your business to business. John, we got about 30 seconds. Last thoughts.
I just want to encourage everybody to go to officedepot.com/get-prepared, and you can download a little PDF file that gives you lots of advice on how to get prepared.
Good for you, John. Your own website. How can they find you and your books?
I'm working on a book right now on the latest edition of Disaster Recovery. It's at drplanning.org for disaster recovery planning. So
drplanning.org. Can they find your other books there as well?
Well, you can buy books at Amazon. This one, I've started doing all my books online now to save a range.
Oh, good. So that's TOIGO, folks. It looks like Toygo, but it's Twigo. Hey, John, thanks for being here. Good job today.
Thanks, Jim. I appreciate it.
We'll see you next time. Quick break. Stay with me. I'll be right back after these messages. I'm Jim Blassingame, broadcasting live from the Administaff Small Business Classic.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.